Welcome, heroes, sidekicks, villains, and civilians to the universe of superheroes. Today, we're going to kick, punch, and fly into the genre that has the most action, drama, and suspense. We'll dive into what makes a hero a good leader and how those characters have impacted our lives. So buckle up, bite down on this thrilling page turner, and always remember, just believe in yourself and you can be a hero. I'm Stream Arcadad.
And I'm Whiplash Wolf.
And I'm Riker. Oh my god. Sorry, brain fart.
You're fine.
Yeah, thanks. Question before, because editors are just going to cut this out, so do I just, like, start out with... Yeah, leave me alone. I'll bite you.
Dune is like, nope, I'm keeping this in.
No, if he keeps this in, I'm going to come after him. So, how were you introduced to superhero fiction, and why was it so impactful to you?
I don't know if it would be considered superhero, but my first contact with like superpowers and stuff like that would be Star Wars. Now, I don't know if that fits with the scope of a superhero, but it is fiction. It is abilities. So my mother was actually a Star Wars collector. She would collect the figurines, the starships, the cards and everything. And my uncle as well was a collector. So obviously when it came time to Christmas, my parents loved giving me, my brother and my sister some Star Wars toys. She would keep a few for herself, unpackaged. And there's a few that we could unbox. She would go around looking for discounts and coupons and stuff, and it was really, really popular because I think Star Wars, the first episode, first aired in movie theaters in 1986. Editors, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically it was before I was born. So I've always been fascinated by the Star Wars universe personally. I've always found it really cool, the Force, the Jedis, the lightsabers, but the futuristic environments, the space traveling. So it's something that has always inspired me. I think it's probably why I've been so into spaceships, stars, traveling, galaxies, planets, and futuristic stuff. I think it's probably because of that. And I've always been fascinated by any side of game that portrays that. Mass Effect would be a great example. Dead Space, which I know Whiplash you love as well. I love these environments. I think they're really cool.
See, mine's on a different spectrum when it comes to superheroes. I started with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It may not be like superheroes or superpowers, but I mean, still, regardless, I grew up watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I even had all the toys. Oh my god, I played with all the toys when I was a kid. See, it may not fit the superhero, you know, contract, like, let's say, Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, but I mean, I enjoyed it, and it was like the first like superhero technicality like show I watched. But it's what I grew up with, and I really enjoyed it. Or if we wanted to talk about maybe, to be fair, Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, I love that show as well. That was really good.
It was. I watched that so much too as a child. Oh, God.
One of the, like, this was the first movie I've ever watched for, like, superheroes. Like, one of the oldest, like, Superman movies. And that was the first ever superhero movie I have ever watched, was one of the originals. And I just fell in love with it. I started watching the rest of the older ones, and it was not really impactful on my life. It was just like, how do I explain this? It was just one of the things that really got me into superheroes was the older and original movies of Superman.
See, I've never, like, I've seen, when I was a kid, I saw, you know, Batman, Spider-Man, all that, the Marvel and the DC universe. I saw a few. I remember watching the original Batman movies, and I remember the first Spider-Man that came out. They were around in my life, but they were never as prominent as Star Wars was. But I think the superhero came popular for me a little bit later, which kind of leads us to the next question. You know, what is the first superhero that you look up to, and why were they so prominent in my life? I would say, after really getting a kick out of like actual superheroes, it would be Iron Man with Tony Stark. He is a bit of a jerk sometimes, but as like his abilities and stuff, the fact that he can create everything he wants, he's a tinkerer, he likes to make stuff, that's something I've always been really into. I've always been like a tinkering type of person. I've actually made like a flamethrower that shot from the palm of your hand. I've made like air cannons, nail guns, like dart guns that could shoot like across the street. I've also, like during cons, I've actually built myself a dubstep gun. So I saw this from a game and I thought that would be really cool to just make my own like room party into a handheld device. So I had like a car subwoofer with an amp and a big 12-volt batteries with 4-inch speakers at the front. I'm going to send a picture for the editors, but it's one of the hundreds of different things I've built in my life. So I got to say, like, Tony Stark has always been one of my favorite. I just find the Iron Man suit, the fact you can fly, you can go wherever you want. It's just so cool. I remember watching the first movie in the theaters, and when I got out, I was so inspired and motivated, and I had so many ideas of things I wanted to build and create. And my brother and my father were like, "Dream, it's just a movie. It's just a movie." I'm like, let me dream, okay? I'm allowed. Am I allowed to have ideas? They kept nagging me for it. So I thought it was really funny. But yeah, his character development on a personal level is also interesting as well. And I find that cool. He did something really humbling at the end of the Endgame movie. So I thought that was cool.
See, my thing is, like, I really didn't base my childhood around superheroes, so I didn't really look up to one. But if I was to base one superhero that I really enjoyed as a kid, Spider-Man. Like, to be fair, like, I wasn't like about to go find a spider and have it bite me. Trust me, was it arachnophobia? I have arachnophobia beyond belief. I will destroy a spider as soon as I see one. But I always thought, like, what would be the abilities, like having just a bug bite you and it just gave you powers to just shoot webs out of your hand or shoot silk out of your hands just to fly through the city skies? Like, I feel like that'd be kind of cool, but same time, what was it, perilous danger pretty much every day? Like, it'd be cool to just do it regardless. You'd be able to get to work faster. I mean, I wouldn't mind it. But to be fair, around me, there's no city skylines. Because think about this. Spider-Man lives in New York, which is perfectly fine because there's skylines everywhere. He can just shoot against webs. He can shoot his webs on against the buildings and fly. But, like, where I live at, there's nothing but sky. It's like, what am I going to do? It's like, I can't do anything with shooting webs.
You're in the middle of a cornfield. What the heck can Spider-Man do? I never thought about that. I think that's hilarious. That's really cool.
But now I just think about it. It's like, I feel like the best way you could probably make use of a spider web, especially if you're like possibly... My best idea would be is just like create a web between two trees. Oh no. And kind of like just slingshot your way to the direction of your work. Maybe that would
that's
work.
A good idea.
But I don't know. They never talk about that. They never talk about like what happens outside of New York City. It's just like, huh, alright, cool. Got all the buildings in the world he can use. But literally anywhere else that's not a major city, it's just, he's kind of useless, honestly.
You know, as we were answering, I kind of thought of a question. I think that was something really interesting, because you brought up Spider-Man. Now, I'm kind of curious. Did you guys had a toy that was inspired by a superhero? And if so, what was your first superhero toy that you've got?
Not a Spider-Man. Like, as I said, I really never had any of the toys for Spider-Man. I had mainly just the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ones. Now, my childhood was the superheroes is kind of weird. I didn't have Spider-Man toys, but I did have Batman toys. And like I said before, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game, like toys. But I did play every single Spider-Man game that came out before PS3 came out, but every Spider-Man game beforehand, I played all the way through. It was like a weird combination of what I did. Like, I was kind of a weird child growing up, honestly, when it came to like the superhero thing. Like, it was kind of like all over the place. It wasn't just like in one area.
I think my first superhero toy I had was actually Spider-Man as well, was the web shooter and water gun. You could switch between like a silly string shooter that you shot with the palm of your hand, or you could actually put the attachment where it's a water gun. So I'm starting to realize like Spider-Man has been another really early on superhero that was really present in my childhood, in between Star Wars and Iron Man. You and I, as we're speaking, I'm starting to realize we should have had like Seth Cooper, the content creator, as a guest, because he's a big Spider-Man fan, and he actually put his avatar into one of the PlayStation games that came out. That would have been great. What about you, Riker?
My first toy was a Spider-Man figure, and what I did, which what I thought was hilarious at the time, was I tied a piece of string to his hand and then tied the other piece to a fan and turned it on.
Oh my god. That's such
That's
a good idea.
Awesome. It's such a good idea.
What characteristics do you look for in a hero? Let's start with Whiplash.
Usually when I would come for a superhero, usually it's one that is selfless, will put themselves in order to save people's lives in case, you know, danger does come to that conclusion. If they do make a mistake, they learn from a mistake and just continue on with it. Because we see in most of these, like, some of these superhero movies where they just, you know, never learn from their mistakes and continue doing the same stuff over and over again. I can't remember which one who it is. Was it Batman? Which one was it? Batman, Spider-Man? Who was it? I can't think of it right now. I would say probably Batman really wouldn't be like a good like one to look up to, because technically like, but he's doing revenge on his family because he died by, you know, a bunch of criminals one night, and he's just trying to get revenge for, I feel like it's like he's just trying to get revenge for what happened to his parents on just different criminals throughout the city. He's just trying to protect the city so nothing like that happens again to him. So I guess I can look up the Batman about, you know, that entire situation.
I personally believe a characteristic I look into a hero, it's like, well, it's kind of a bit of an obvious one, but being humble is really important. Being cocky and bragging, I don't think it's a really cool superhero trait. But also what I've noticed is that a lot of like superheroes, they tend to put too much responsibilities upon themselves, and being able to say no and like taking a little break, I think from time to time is very important. There's not a lot of superheroes that that does that. I know, I think in the Mr. Incredible movies, the main character kind of puts himself through a lot of trouble, a lot of stresses, and he doesn't let other people help him because he doesn't want to risk the lives of others. But I find it cool where the main character, the superhero, actually has a group of friends to help him out. Shout out to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She has her own crew. She's the one with the superpowers, but her friends want to help her out and be there for her, and it makes the group stronger. Yes, okay, there's more targets that you can aim if you're trying to attack the group, but I find it really cool that they're able to figure out everybody's ability, what they're good at, what they're not good, and try to work together. So I think a superhero can work in team is really also really important, because you cannot tackle the responsibility of the world upon your shoulders. You cannot be a one-man army. Superman might be one, but still, like, there's a limit to what he can do, either mentally or physically. So I really like it when movies and superheroes portrays their, you know, their strong side, but also their weaker side. And you can also learn from their mistakes, stuff that they do bad. And yeah, I think it's one of the things. I think being humble, being, you know, willing to work as a team, I think it's something that I really look into. Self-sacrifice is really very, very honorable, but please only as a last resort. Don't do that too much. I really hated the fact that we lost Iron Man in the last, you know, Marvel movie. They are hinting at a time machine though, so I'm kind of curious if they're going to be able to bring him back. I've heard rumors, I've heard maybe some spoilers and stuff, so I'm kind of excited, but yeah, I'll keep it at that for now.
Okay, so next question. Did your preferences in what makes a hero change as you've grown as a person? Stream, your turn.
Did my preferences in what makes a hero change has grown as... I don't think so. It's been pretty much the same thing. Maybe I can say that over time I've tend to recognize more personality traits over time, how they are. I don't just see the superhero, but I also see the person that is a superhero. So I don't feel that my preferences has changed over time. It's just more that I've been observing things a little bit more and then focusing on them. And they've changed more because of the personality behind them. It's not because I don't like the character. It's just I discover new fact about them, who they are as a person, what they can do. So yeah, it's kind of a tough one to answer, to be honest. Sacrifice, being humble, willing to help out people. It's always kind of been the same thing for me. So yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. Sorry.
My preferences really haven't changed much either. Now, I mean, sometimes I could question, like, the characteristics of each superhero that may come out, honestly, based on what they do, but, like, what I see is a hero still hasn't really changed much. It's still the same thing, selfless, learn from mistakes, save people, pretty much what would make a superhero a superhero.
Wait, none of you thought of this. Megamind.
Oh, yeah.
Villain to hero. He literally made his own hero so he could fight that dude instead. But then realized he created a villain, and then he became the good guy.
Who was it? Wasn't it Groot, too, like, in the Minions? Or in Despicable Me? Wasn't Groot, like, the same way? He was, like, wanting to be a villain, but in the end, he became the good guy, regardless of what he tried to do.
I personally love those movies. I think it's good. I really enjoyed Megamind because it was so different. Your point of view is not towards the good guys, actually towards the villain. So I've always enjoyed those types of movies. Cruella was another one from, you know, the 101 Dalmatian. They recently made a movie about it where we took the point of view of the villain, how she became the villain. But Masterman was the opposite. He was the villain and he became the good guy. So I think it always makes for something interesting, have a different perspective, understands the villain a little bit better, because they do have a background. They do have a very, very interesting background, in my opinion. The movie Joker was also a really good one.
To be fair, the Joker is kind of hard to watch sometimes, but it's a very good, like, description of how someone becomes a villain over time, honestly. But he's doing it... He's technically the villain, but in the eyes of, like, what the American people will see, he's like the sort of like anti-hero, at least from what I remember from watching that movie. That movie was so well done.
It was really a dark movie, but the acting was amazing. I forgot his name.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes. He did a fantastic job on that movie. It was a dark, it was not a very pleasant movie, but it was very interesting. Yeah. And the acting was flawless. Amazing. Great movie for that, honestly.
Yeah, there's some parts in that movie that made me feel so uncomfortable. The thing is, I feel like if someone can actually make you feel that way, because to be fair, the way they were trying to make you feel uncomfortable is based off, like, real life, you know, people too, honestly. It's like stuff in the film happens in real life and we just become uncomfortable with it because we're just not used to that kind of, you know, activity from people. So we just try to find different ways to cope with it, and in the movie it just kind of shows exactly how we do it.
Back with Megamind, like, people, like, growing up, they saw him as the villain. But when he grew older and he realized, like, you know, not everything has to be bad. Like, you could see that as yourself. Like, you see your parents, they want you to be this. But as you grow older, you can make your own changes to yourself and not live up to the expectations of your parents. And you could grow from that. Is there something specific in this genre that has kept you interested and compelled?
I'm not really... I will say this. Like, honestly, when the Avengers movies were still being made, like, those kind of, like, kept me interested in superheroes and, like, you can go in to see the films and just seeing it because it's, like, all the heroes combined into one movie. And honestly, it's great. It helps me with ADHD. It keeps me, like, very focused on that one thing. But, otherwise, not really. I don't really watch superhero movies more. I watch horror. I'm on the horror side of stuff and like comedy. But I will say this, I'm looking forward to the Deadpool 3 movie coming out this year. I will definitely go be watching that.
Oh, I love Deadpool so much.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, if I would be to start cosplaying again like I used to, if there's one character that fits my goofiness, it would be Deadpool. The problem is, everybody was doing it, and I don't like to do what everybody else does, so I didn't do it when I was a cosplayer, but I was hoping to wait a little bit for that, you know, that heat to die down, because the type of goofiness he does, it's totally me. I'm just holding back all the time, to be honest. What I really love about the superhero genre is always the first movie where the character discovers he's a superhero and he gets his suit, he gets his powers, he figures out who the bad guy is. I've always found that part super interesting. Iron Man was a really good example for that. The Spider-Man movies were also really cool. Trying to think of the other ones. Batman 2, how he builds up, you know, his weapons, his gadgets, his Batcave and everything. Oh my god, it's so cool. I love the gadgets. I'm always a fan of those. I think I'm pretty much a fan of all the superheroes that don't have power, but they just have gadgets and tools to help them. I just find that cool.
You know how at the end of like almost every single Avenger movie, and like Shang-Chi for instance, at the end of that movie, Wong, or whatever his name, picks them up because there is like a signal out in space or something, and I'm really excited for a second movie on that, because that's what keeps me interested in movies, is literally just the lore, and there's a specific word I'm looking for, but I forgot what it is, so...
I find the Marvel lore to be very, very complicated, and... It's cool that they're all interconnected with each other, but man, it is really hard to keep up sometimes. It's very difficult. There's a chronological order for every of the movies if you want to watch this part, because they have a timeline you have to follow. It's a little bit ridiculous sometimes. It is well thought out and it's really cool, but sometimes too much is like too little. So there's a sweet middle ground that you need to look at. You know, I go to the movie theater like once a year. So I would need to go almost every month. It feels like sometimes. It's not the case, but yeah.
Yeah, especially how much lore there is to that place. I would... Stay in the loop with Top Dogs Podcast by subscribing to our YouTube channel and ringing the notification bell. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform and hit that follow button to get notified about every new episode that we bring out. Show your love by leaving us a quick rating and connect with our community on Discord and Telegram. You'll find all the links in our link tree below. And thank you for your support.
Hey, Top Dogs fan, want to snag some awesome perks while supporting us? Check out our server subscription on Discord or Patreon. Become a podcast supporter and get exclusive behind-the-scenes footage, join supporter meetups, and use custom hand-draws emojis featuring the Top Dogs team, and chat with the podcast team and fellow fans. Plus, don't miss out our brand new After Dog show for mature audiences only at just $2.99 a month. Craving more? Upgrade to the podcast supporter plus for $5.99 a month, and enjoy episode voting, suggest podcast episodes, and join our live audience without needing a VR chat account or VR headset, as we now offer the live streaming services directly on our Discord server. Plus, get exclusive sneak peeks of upcoming ideas, merch drop, and much more in the future. There's no obligation to join these subscriptions, but your support generally makes a huge difference for all of our team. And for those who've already subscribed, a heartfelt thank you from the bottom of your hearts. Of our arts.
Now, for the question of the week. If your persona was a superhero, what kind of superpower would they have, and would they have an arch nemesis? This one's by Justin the Firewolf Dog. If my persona was a superhero, my power would be literally fire. He literally shoots fire and breathes it, but I don't know if my persona would have a arch nemesis.
Just like this.
This one is... this one is from Pell. He says, probably waterbending / hydrokinesis. And as far as arch nemesis, none, because my Sona would be one to avoid the public eye or any kind of reputation, leaving no room for an arch nemesis. Which I think that's really cool. The
it's a smart
type.
Superhero. It's a smart person.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
That's like a real superhero right there, not doing it for the attention and not trying to draw attention to himself. This one is by Bodhi. He says, if I had to pick on for my persona, it would be shapeshifting to give you the chance to fly, swim, or change into any animal you want so you could live your best life.
I think being able to shapeshift would be another one for me, because it is just convenient. If I need to fly really fast and get somewhere, I can turn into an eagle. If I want to get something at the bottom of a lake, I can turn to a fish or a dolphin. If I want to be able to go dazzling fast across like a desert or something, I could be a cheetah. So I think being able to transform into any sort of animal can be very convenient. Mother Nature is quite a powerful superhero, and I guess my arch nemesis would probably be pest control. So that's probably going to be it.
Oh my god. See, mine would probably be just the power to, you know, turn invisible. I just feel like it'd be fun just like being behind the wheel of my car, driving down the road, and there's no one sitting in the seat. The car is just driving itself. Not Tesla, like iCars. But also, mainly to be fair, the reason I would love to just be invisible is just so I can scare the shit out of people.
Phasmophobia in real life.
Exactly. Just like toss a paper towel, like toss toilet paper just at them, like just roll it out of the bathroom.
I would hire you for sure.
I'm gonna say this, if Elon Musk is watching him while watching this, do not give this man the power to become invisible. Yeah. He doesn't
please
need it.
Do. Oh,
no,
I
don't. Please, please.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do.
For me, I would choose teleportation. Being able to just travel the world for free. That would be nice. Visit all my friends
I
and all that.
I thought about
just,
it.
Like, just with a thought, I could be there instantly. But then the drawback
really
to
convenient.
That is everyone would come to me, be like, hey, can I go this, go here, go there, like, come on, let's go this here, like, take me there. That's my arch nemesis right there. It's my friends.
The government is going to take you away and use you. That's probably what's going to end up happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got to find
also
me first. I can teleport to the moon.
To be fair, also part of the invisibleness is whatever I touch also becomes invisible. As long as I'm holding it. So, that's the other thing. Also, too, technically I could travel for free anywhere, you know, and just sneak onto a plane.
Which medium do you prefer to consume when you are indulging in superhero fiction?
The video games are really fun, but the problem I have with video games is that they're never really accurate to the movie. It feels like it was inspired by the movie, but it's a whole different thing. So I just like the movies a lot. The comics are good. They go into more details. But it's what I like about the more modern superheroes is just the special effect. Like, it's really cool how they do that. As a content creator, I do appreciate good special effects artists and the way they do it. And I find that really cool. But yeah, I would say movies, theater, or a big screen at home or projector.
Like the video games are fun and stuff, but honestly, I found myself, like, in my life, not playing video games as much anymore. I kind of honestly just get on VRChat to do this, and if I get a chance to play Cyberpunk 2077. But I do find myself watching movies at home with my friends. Like, last night, I kind of watched Django Unchained. It's not a superhero movie, but it's definitely a damn good movie. But movies for sure.
I agree with both of you. Movies all the way. Yeah, comics, they're good. They give you a lot more detail, and they are, you know, the originals. And with the video games, they add more stuff to make the games interesting, which I prefer to stay with movies because, you know, they don't really change anything. They try to keep up with the comics and all that. Just keep it original, not add anything special or new. What would you want to see done differently in this genre of media.
I think it's always the same, like, okay, the character figures out he's a superhero, then everything goes well, he's having fun, then the bad guys show up, then there's this epic fight, somebody dies, and then everything gets better. It's always the same pattern of things. It's one of the reasons why I like Joker so much, because you can't really tell if there's a good ending or a bad ending. It's just what's going on, you know. It's kind of weird. It's very different. It's very more, it feels more artistic, while the superhero movies is very American like where it's just always the same elements, and then, you know, a big fight and then resolution and everything goes well. It's always the same pattern. So obviously when they do a superhero movie or a villain movie that is different, it makes it really interesting. I kind of like it where in the Avatar movies, you know, that by James Cameron, it kind of had that vibe, but it was a little bit different. It felt like there was a first problem, then they settle it down, and then a bigger problem comes out, and then they figure it out. I thought that was really cool in the Avatar movies. Even the second one, they start off right off the bat, there's a problem, how do we fix this? So they had the two Avatar movies had a slightly different pattern from the standard superhero movies that I see all the time, so I thought that was really cool.
I agree with Stream on this one. All, like, at least American movies have the same, like, story plotline. It's superhero, like, either they get their powers, they learn how to use their powers, villain comes out of nowhere, they fight villain, climax happens, the ending happens. Now, the ending is usually, like, they have, like, the girl they've been trying to fight over, you know, to save their lives and get the romance ending. But yeah, I would like to, but yeah, Joker is one of those movies, like, honestly, you remember The Dark Knight, whenever Heath Ledger did Joker? Honestly, I know Batman was, like, you know, the favorable superhero, but I was very much enjoying, like, watching Joker be himself in that movie. Like, I know he was being the villain, but he was being such a good villain. It's like, man, I kind of want Joker to win. Yeah. Like, it was such a good, like, addition to the Joker. But the Joker of the movie itself, though, you're right. You don't know if it's a good ending or a bad ending. And, like, going throughout his life, you don't know if he's being the villain or being the hero. And I kind of like that idea of, like, there's no, like, there's, like, no solid ground on what he is. It's like, you kind of leave it up to yourself on what you think Joker is going to be. Especially, isn't the second movie coming out soon?
I have no idea, honestly. I'm definitely looking forward to it. That's definitely a movie that I'm going to go. It's probably why I don't go to the movie theaters, because all the superhero movies, they feel the same to me, honestly. But the Black Knight movies were really good. You know, that point where he's in that pit and he has to get out, that felt like a first problem, then he resolves it, and then another one, and then he resolves it. So I think it's probably one of the reasons why the Dark Knight was really good, is because it had a slightly different structure from most of the American movies. The Marvel movies, at the end, they all kind of feel the same. I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for. All the characters are great, they're amazing, but if you look at the timeline, what happens is the movie is quite repetitive. They're still good. They're amazing. Please don't send me hate mail in my messages. I love the Marvel movies, but they kind of feel repetitive a little bit at times. Probably why I'm not going to the movie theaters anymore as much.
I feel like Deadpool helps, like, kind of, like, annihilates that idea, because there's usually, like, oh, hey, like, there's a problem. Oh, they solved it already. And then here comes another problem, and then it's like, okay, we'll stick with this one, and then they solve it. And Ben's like, oh shit, this problem came out of nowhere, and then they have to fix that one. But I also kind of like Deadpool, because he's not like the hero or the villain. He's just kind of like existing, honestly.
Yeah.
He just does whatever he wants to do.
What I like about Deadpool is that, if you guys know me, I love a little bit of chaos, and he brings that just perfect amount with humor and comedy and random stuff that you're like, what the hell did that come out from? Like, it keeps you on edge. Like, you never know what's going to happen. So I think the Deadpool movies were one of my favorites. The comedy is just stupid. It's, like, so random, but I absolutely love the Deadpool movies.
Like, I agree with both you. Like, they don't change. They're always the same. Like, the superhero wins in the end, no matter what. But with the Infinity War movie by Marvel, that one's my favorite one because the heroes lost for once. That's what I want to see more of. I want to see more of the heroes losing than just, you know, winning and then, oh, boom, movie's over. Like, if they lose more, you could, you know, they will continue with the next movie and they will learn from that experience. Like, yeah.
Oh, God.
You know what you made me realize something. One thing I really hate is when I can guess what's going to happen in the movie because it's so predictable. I love it when a good movie throws you in a loop where you think it's that person, but no, it's totally something else that's going to happen. I love that. When you're like, you start the movie, you're like 20 minutes in and you're like, oh, I know how it's going to end. Yeah, the good guys are going to win. This guy was the bad guy. This one was the good one, but he's going to grow to be a better person. Oh my God, it's annoying.
True though, very true. It's kind of like in Wizard of Infinity War, how you really weren't expecting, spoilers by the way, you weren't expecting for Thanos to actually just, you know, kind of drop his daughter off the edge just for, which stone was it? Was it? Which stone was it he got from that? Was it the Infinity Stone they got from doing that to his daughter? I can't remember right now. But regardless, that one did throw me for a loop. Wasn't ever expecting for Thanos just to be chilling, like, on a porch at the end of the movie. And then it's like, it's like 4 years until the next movie came out. But that was a really good ending. Like, I can't remember. When I walked out of the theaters, I was like, damn, I was not expecting for the villain to finally win in the end.
Okay, what would be a realistic perception of superheroes within today's society?
Someone who can run this country.
Oh, God.
Nah, legit though, like, I don't know, at this point, this kind of, not even, like, everything so far in today's society is kind of like, such a good question. There's just, there's not like a lot of, I mean, there's war going on, but there's just so much other things too going on. It's so hard to like decide on what a good superhero would be now, because it ain't really saving us from like villains, like, unless you're talking about normal war that happens between countries so often that it's just like, it just happens now. It's just regular. Me would just be something from, like, trying to save the society as it is, honestly, because there's just so much depression and, God, what's it called? Aggressiveness and just drama, stuff like that online. Like, honestly, existing online is just, this is mentally draining, honestly. Like, you try to go on Twitter just to see how something, like, try to look for something fun, and you just get blasted by drama, blast, drama, 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 and then you finally get to the one thing you're looking at, and you're like, bro, I'm done with the internet for today.
Someone who could actually look for not just themselves or the government, but look towards the people and what help they need.
It's hard to give people inspiration. It's hard to give them what they need, because in the end, it's just not going to fix the problem. It's so messed up right now. it's so difficult. Oh my God, I don't really know. I don't really have an answer, sadly.
Since nowadays we have the power at the touch of a screen, what is something you two can do that could be considered a superpower online?
Well, back in the days, we didn't have texting and messaging, so you could consider it as telekinesis? Or empath, not empath, telepathy. So you can actually communicate with your friends. We can't really do it with our minds yet, but with Elon Musk's Neuralink, we're probably going to be able to do that eventually soon. So I think the Neuralink is going to be able to give us a lot of superpowers in the future if it does come. I know there's a guy that was actually implanted with the Neuralink, and he uses it to play gaming. And he told him, like, this is actually a problem because it feels like I'm cheating because it's like having an aimbot in my head. And he was saying that probably in the future with esport, people that have the Neuralink would probably have their own class of ranking because it's so overpowered. So I think that's kind of crazy. But it's interesting. For people that have disabilities, I think it's going to be an amazing thing, an amazing tool for those people. Give them hope, give them something to be excited for. I know a friend of mine, he is losing a lot of mobility. He has a degenerative disease where he's losing motor function with his nerve endings. So he was like, dude, if like Elon Musk needs a tester for the Neuralink, he's like, sign me up, because I'm losing my mind here. I don't like where this is going. So I'm like, that's very interesting. Another way of seeing things.
See, I didn't even know that was happening. Superpower line, honestly, I mean, my thing would just be not trying to involve yourself or create drama online. Like, that's just my thing. Because, honestly, drama has a hold on people. Like, it's their lifeline. And creating it is just, like, giving you attention. As, at least from what I've seen online. I try to, like, stop looking at it, but it just pops in my page every single day.
A superpower for, like, the internet. It would be social media. Because... you know, there's two types of people in this world. There's, you know, the nice, wholesome ones, and then there's the mean ones. With social media, you could use it in two ways. You could literally just ruin someone's entire life or day with just the press of a button. Social media is a scary superpower.
Yeah. The power of defamation.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, that'd be nice. Just what if social media just kind of disappeared for a week? People would freak out. I wouldn't give a crap, honestly. I just go about my normal day.
Me neither. I wouldn't care.
Here's my thing, especially with people who, like, I know COVID was like a reasoning for why social media is it. Media is the way it is now, especially everything like online. If people were to learn to minimize their social platform versus like actually, you know, being active somewhere, you know, in your life. Like, everyone has a job. Like, I'm not saying go work more. I'm just saying do more stuff at your house. Be more active. Do something that's not being online for, like, 15 hours a day, honestly. It's like, if you have a podcast or listen to a podcast or if you listen to some YouTube video or listen to music, do it. Honestly, when I'm working every day pretty much my life for, like, 12 hours a day, I'm listening to music nonstop. That is, like, a great way to pass time. Like, listening to music is probably the best thing to ever exist. I'd give up everything for music. Because music makes you happy. Or just ignore it. Ignore negativity. It's not great to interact with it, honestly. I know most people at least just try to interact with it to feel inclusive, like feel inclusion with the whatever's going on. But it doesn't help out anyone, honestly, in the end. It just keeps the train rolling.
You guys went into specifics and a lot of things, but you guys forgot the basics. The power of any knowledge at your fingertips. You can understand and figure out anything you want. Any answer you're looking for, it's right in your pocket. You don't have to go to a library anymore. You don't have to go to check out an encyclopedia. You don't have to do any of that. Just look it up. You can even like voice prompt it on your phone and be asked the question, and then it will give you an answer. I think that is... super cool. Power of knowledge. Well, I think that pretty much covers it all. Did you guys wanted to add anything for tonight?
I think I am good, honestly.
Today we're going to start doing something. Today I'm going to be telling my dad joke of the day. So guys, Simba was walking a little bit slow. His mom turned around, and what did she say to him?
No.
Still.
Mufasa.
Oh my god.
End it there. Save us, please.
End the episode.
Get me out of here.
Oh my god.
All right, guys. So I hope you guys didn't cringe too much. Thanks you guys for coming and listening to this episode. We wish you guys a fantastic day, a fantastic night, a fantastic evening. And remember to enjoy life. Make it fun.
Whenever you win or lose, you can always come out ahead by learning from the experience.
All right, good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Good night.